Really? Wanted to tell you a little bit more about Glenn so that you know Glenn Davis. He has double pneumonia. We were at Winchester Hospital last night, and the nurse was telling me that his condition was worse than it was when he came in on Friday. So we just think that the medications need to start taking effect, and most importantly, our prayers of every one of us need to happen. We know God will heal him, and let's just continue to lift that family up in prayer. I also wanted to tell you, too, that our family is going to be leaving for Seoul, South Korea this coming Thursday. We'll be going there for almost a month. We'll be back on the 26th, and so it's kind of snuck up on us, and so we're asking you all for your prayers, because we believe prayer is the power behind mission. We're going to be going over there and be teaching in a Bible school there for 2 weeks, 3 hours a day on the minor prophets. And we'll be also doing a preacher seminar for 3 days, and also visiting orphanages and just encouraging the church over there. And Teresa, Sarah, and I are all going together. So we just invite your prayers as we do that. So as we kind of approach the last day of the year, I was thinking to myself, what, you know, in praying and asking God, you know, what do we need to be thinking about for 2015? And this idea of restoring our souls, I think, has, to me, got to be the issue for the whole year. Because we're a tired people. All of us in this room can testify, you know, the holiday season alone in and of itself is tiring. But we live in a very fast-paced world, and it's very hard for us to sometimes focus and be still and listen to what God is saying to us. I know I struggle with it, don't you? So I think this today, as we talk about making New Year's resolutions, I think the goal of 2015 should be the restoration of our souls more than anything else. There's never existed in the history of mankind a generation like ours. We are overloaded with information. The Daily New York Times now contains more information than a 17th century man or woman would have encountered in a lifetime. Isn't that something? More than a lifetime. In the last 30 years, mankind has produced more information than in the previous 5,000. Gordon Moore, co-founder of Intel, coined Moore's Law, which states that the processing power of computer chips doubles about every 18 months. It's probably much less now than when this was written. About 1,000 books are published internationally every day, and the total of all printed knowledge doubles every 5 years. Dr. Dharma Singh Khalsa, in his book Brain Longevity, says the average American sees 16,000 advertisement logos and labels in a day. And you wonder why you're so tired. When our lives are overloaded, when there's too much stress happening, when there is, you know, too much information going on and little time with God, our souls get tired. We get exhausted. And I think everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about, where you are right now. We're paying a very high price for this. Have you thought about the fact that healthcare exists and is very strong today because we are a fast-paced culture? You know, our body language speaks volumes when you walk into a room. Before you even ever say any words, people can tell what's up with you. You're tired. You're exhausted. We're weak spiritually, decreased job performance, lack of joy, marriage problems, dissatisfaction of who we are. All those things stem from a soul that is very, very tired. And I don't think that's God's plan for our lives. You know, the Apostle Paul walked 10,000 miles in 10 years. And if you look at his life, I don't see any burnout in his life. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, knew when it was time to take a break. So I think we need to learn a lesson from those two and say to ourselves, you know, maybe I just need to pull back a little bit. We're going to look at five signs of soul fatigue today, but we're going to look at just first three verses of Psalm 23 because they do provide the prescription and the answer for our soul fatigue. Let's pray together as we begin. Father, I know I probably speak for most people in this room right now in that some days, Lord, we are just overwhelmed with all of the things that are going on in our lives and the amount of information that we hear from the moment we get up in the morning to the moment we go to bed. And I confess, Lord, myself, that I get caught up in the world and I got caught up in the information cycle and I'm overloaded. And I long to hear your voice again. And I pray for all of us in this room today that we'll think about where we are today as we think about this getting into this new year when we're making resolutions for the next year. I pray, Father, that you will be included, obviously, in that and that we will focus spiritually. If there's things that we need to get rid of, if there's time schedules that need to be changed, I pray, Father, you'll give us the courage and the boldness to do that. So we invite your Spirit today to speak to us, to guide us, to lead us, to open our hearts, and think about in our lives what things we need to do to draw near to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. First sign of soul fatigue, it's a constant state of being rushed. You know, it is interesting that we can send packages by Federal Express. We have phone companies called Sprint. We can do our taxes and our finances with Quicken, lose weight with Slim Fast, and wear Speedos. You can wear Speedos. I ain't wearing Speedos. But you know you're very tired when you cannot handle one more interruption in the day. You know it's time to pull back. Okay? That's the first sign of soul fatigue. The second one is the difficulty of making decisions. Isn't it interesting 100 years ago that lye soap was the only thing that you used to wash your hair with? Now we have 1,260 different kinds of shampoos. Choices, often too many. 2,000 skincare products. You know, 30 years ago, there was only, get this guys, there was only three television stations. Kids, can you believe it? We had to actually get up and change the channel. And there's only three channels. And we might not get all of them, depending on where the rabbit ears were. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know what rabbit ears are, ask your parents. You go to a restaurant, menus. I mean, look at all the information on a menu. We've got all these choices. And I think when one of the signs that we are tired and exhausted is when we are very indecisive about things. We have trouble making decisions. Maybe that's you today. Another sign of soul fatigue is the fact that we have lots of information in our world today, but we have little wisdom on how to operate in it. Isn't it interesting that wisdom is the ability to take the information that you've learned and apply it to your life? And I think one of the biggest problems in Christianity and being a follower of Christ today, a challenge that is very different from what the first believers 2,000 years ago dealt with, is the fact that we have all this information available to us now. And the fact that we have trying to keep up with all these different things is exhausting. Which kind of leads to this fourth point in that a sign of soul fatigue is when God feels very distant and you feel very spiritually dry. I go through periods, I don't know about you, but I go through periods where I'm spiritually dry. I don't feel focused, don't feel connected with the Lord. And I think that comes from a culture that is moving entirely too fast. And this kind of goes back to the other point, was the fact that we have all this information today, but little wisdom I find it interesting that we hear sermons, we hear Bible classes week after week, but for a lot of us, we approach it just like we do television or the internet. We get the information, isn't that nice, and we move on to the next bit of information that we need to swallow. See, the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. God wants you to spend time with Him. We can't just hear a message and walk away and say, isn't that a great message, when that encouraging, and not think about how we're going to apply that to our lives. We can't read the Word without saying to ourselves, you know, I need to sit back and reflect and think about, what am I going to do with this? Because the Word of God is eternal. You're reading the very words of the Lord. This isn't a newspaper. This isn't an internet article. These are the words of God. So the temptation for us is to listen but not obey, because we are conditioned by the culture we live in. It's very easy to jump to the next topic when God says, no, 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 I want you to listen. Be still and listen. The fifth sign of soul fatigue is the decreased ability to love and care for people. You know you're really getting tired when the people that you love and the people you care about are driving you absolutely up the wall. You don't want to be around them. Get the phone away from me. I don't want to talk to anybody. That's when you know it's time to pull back. Now, when our souls are tired, it's often a sign that we're distracted. Why are we so distracted? Okay? Obviously, there's many reasons, but I think this guy, John Ortberg, hits it right on the head here. He goes, I have an answer as to why you are watching TV and playing games so much. We search for distractions when there are unpleasant issues psychologically that are too painful for us to focus on. It is a survival mechanism. There are some things you don't want to think about or process, so you get distracted. We are a culture of distraction, gadgets, entertainment, addictions. We need tools to engage our issues, not run from them. You might not even know what these issues are consciously, but your subconscious is battling them. Ask God to give you the energy and wisdom to deal with your issue. That's good advice. Because I don't know how many times that I don't want to think about anything, I don't want to do anything, I just want to let the movie think for me. I want to let the television think for me instead of dealing with a problem or an issue that I know that I need to deal with. It's very easy. I think his advice as well. I think we need to seek God to help him deal with the issues. So how should we deal with soul fatigue? Very, very simply, it begins with God. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. Aren't you glad about that this morning? God didn't wake up on the wrong side of the bed. God doesn't get tired. He is the one that can increase the power of the weak. So we come to this idea of in Psalm 23, one of the most beloved psalms, and it's so beautiful. It's got so many things to say to us this morning about how God restores our soul. But it begins with the Lord being my shepherd. As we used to say in the inner city, I don't know if he's your shepherd, but he's mine. And we need to decide today whose shepherd he is. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. See, 2,000, 3,000 years ago when David pens these words, they needed restoration too. So how does God restore our souls? It begins with reorienting our priorities. Making changes where changes need to. Maybe I need to put the computer away at night. Maybe I need to do some things in the morning so I can get up a little earlier so I can spend time with God. Maybe I need to reorient my priorities. The Lord is my shepherd. He may not be your shepherd, but He's my shepherd. And Glenn, the other Glenn Davis, Dr. Glenn, could tell you, him and Julie, as they raise sheep on their farm, why do sheep need a shepherd? Well, because they are very prone to stray away. They're not very bright animals. They need someone to guide them. Another thing, they cannot see well, which is I find very interesting in that passage. And my question to you today is why can't we be our own shepherds? I mean, a lot of us want to be our own shepherds. It's because of sin. We don't know how to live our lives. We need somebody to guide us, to lead us, to shepherd us. And I love Jesus' words in Matthew 11. We'll come to this as we dive into the Gospel of Matthew next year. Come to me. Not come to religion, come to me. It is a personal relationship that God desires. All you who are weary from legalism, weary from life, weary from you fill in the blank, and I will give you rest. When our souls are tired, I know the first thing we start thinking about is, you know, maybe God just doesn't really care about me. But I'm here to tell you that shepherds, the good shepherd, always, always is concerned about their sheep, the welfare of their sheep. They will leave the 99 and go after the one. If the Lord is your shepherd, you're going to discover the beautiful phrase, I shall not want. What that really means. And what it means is you're going to discover that he's enough. And often that happens in the midst of trials. Somebody said, I don't know who said this, but there's a lot of wisdom to it. When all you have left is God, then you discover God is all you need. I've discovered that truth many times in my life. And when you know that God is enough, you learn to say, you know, I'm going to be content with whatever circumstance I am in right now because God is my shepherd. He's enough. He's enough. And the fact that advertisers, all they do is they seek to make us feel discontent. You got to have this product. You got to get this hair tonic. You got to get, you know, you feel, you know, you've seen the commercials. And they make us feel discontent as if we need something more. How do we break free from a culture that seeks to be materialistic and wants more and more? We simplify. And maybe this needs to be on your agenda this year. Maybe you need to deaccumulate. Maybe you need to pull back the reins and say, you know what? Maybe we need to move and buy us a smaller home, you know, deaccumulate some things, give away some things, focus more on the Lord's work. Stop being chained and a slave to my home. I know lots of people who are slaves to the things they own. Those things own them. You don't own them. They own you. And I think it's time for a lot of us to simplify our lives. So God restores my soul when I reorient my priorities. This last point, I think, is so crucial. And I love that picture. I love that picture. God restores my soul when I allow him to control my life. And this is the one where it hits. This is the thing that hits us the most, I think. The Lord is my shepherd. He is going to be enough. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down. He makes me lie down because I am a stubborn person. Sheep are very stubborn. Ask Glenn, you know, trying to make them sit down is hard. You have to force them. And I think a lot of times God will do whatever it takes to get us to lie down. If that means a sickness, if that means losing a job or a trial, God will do anything to get his child's attention. because he loves you. Not because he's wanting to hurt you, but because he loves you too much to allow you to stray from him. I think we're stressed out because we want to control our lives. I want to do what I want to do instead of allowing God to be your shepherd. You shepherd yourself. It's interesting, Timothy Keller does a study of first century Palestine and shepherds and sheep, and even to this day it's true. One of the many reasons why sheep will not lie down is because of fear. When they sense danger is on the nearby, they are not going to lie down. They are not going to lie down. And I love that the fact the most repeated command in Scripture, 365 times for every day of the year, is do not fear. We don't need to be afraid. Because fear is the one thing that will cripple you and destroy you. Our media loves to keep us in fear. It is the exact opposite of faith. So, you know, this morning I realized a lot of us, you know, we got the Christmas season behind us. Okay, now we're thinking about the new year, but you may have come this morning and you got a lot of baggage this morning. And you're very anxious. Maybe you're worried about a job, you're worried about a relationship, maybe your marriage is falling apart, maybe, you know, your children have fallen away from the Lord, whatever. Remember that 98% of the things that we worry about are things we have absolutely no control over. If the Lord is your shepherd, what do you have to worry about? Really? When it boils down to it, oh, Chris, it's not that easy. Yes, it is that easy. No matter what your situation that you're going to face this next year, and we don't know what's around the next bend, right? You and I don't know what's going to happen in 2015. But if God is my shepherd, and God is in control, and he's already there, what do you have to worry about? How much of our lives have we wasted worrying? If you live in a constant state of worry and anxiety, God is not your shepherd. And don't tell me that he is. It all boils down to this. Do I trust God? Does God have my best interest at heart? Yes. Does God love my children and have as much, if not greater, concern for them than I do? Yes, absolutely. As a parent, I think we have to surrender our children to the Lord. They are His, by the way. They're on loan for a short time for us. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that truth from time to time. They're God's. Do not be anxious about anything. Oh, Paul, you can't. You're so spiritual. I can never be like that. Paul, you're in a dungeon right now saying this. How could you say do not be anxious about anything? Here's a man that understood stress in his life. Let's listen to a guy that understands it. If this is a command, I think God is saying you can do this too. And it's the Spirit of God that gives us that power to do this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, God is concerned about your life, about what's going on in your life, what you're dealing with, the job, the family, the relationships. Yes, God cares. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the peace of God. I've been hearing that word peace a lot, haven't you, during this Christmas season? And peace is more than the absence of conflict. Peace is a supernatural wholeness and wellness to know that, you know, God's got this figured out and I'm not going to worry about it. And I think everybody in this room wants peace. And there's a peace that transcends all understanding. You can't explain it, man. man, you're going through some real chaotic times, and you're awfully peaceful. I can't explain it, man. It's the Lord. It's the Lord giving me a peace about it. I like Beth Moore's paraphrase, do not be calm about anything, but in everything by dwelling on it constantly and feeling picked on by God with thoughts like, and this is the thanks I get? Present your aggravations to everyone you know but God. And the acid in your stomach, which transcends all milk products, will cause you an ulcer, and the doctor bills will cause you a heart attack, and you will lose your mind. And we laugh, we think, oh, that's funny, but that's true. That's exactly what we do. We work ourselves and our health into a frenzy, ulcers, health issues, heart attacks, because we're not willing to give God the car keys of our life. Cast all of your anxieties. God can't be concerned about that. Yes, He is. You're His child. I think He's going to be concerned about you. I care for you. God cares about your life. Now, where does God make us lie down? He makes us lie down in green pastures. And what's really interesting is when we hear the phrase green pasture, we think of Ireland. Aye, green pastures, where the shepherd shall be with the sheep. That's right. Or we think of the rolling hills of Tennessee. But that's not what the text is talking about. Green pastures, that's a green pasture. See that there's little grass here and there? But it's pretty, looks like a desert. But it's just enough grass for today. He makes me lie down in green pastures, meaning God is going to give you enough grace sufficient for the day to deal with your stress, to deal with your problem, to deal with your issues, to deal with your marriage, to deal with whatever you're dealing with. He's going to give you grace sufficient. Give us this day our daily bread. See, God wants you to stay into today. That's the biggest important principle I learned in AA was I got to stay into today. I can't worry about next week or tomorrow. I got to focus on where I am today. And God says, I want you to depend on me daily. I'm going to make you lie down in a green pasture now so that you do. So that you will discover that I'm sufficient to meet all your needs. He leads me beside still waters. You know, sheep do not like loud running water. If you bring a sheep by a river, they're going to be petrified, be scared. He leads me beside still waters. Peace. And American culture is addicted to noise. We do not like silence. It's very uncomfortable. The average American watches 4 hours of television per day. 12 solid years of your lifetime is spent in front of the boob tube. And the problem with that, and there's not an issue or a sin in that, but there is a problem when I am so disconnected from my family, I'm not listening, I'm not building relationships, I'm not connecting with people because I don't want to deal with people's problems. I want to focus on me. I want to focus on what I'm doing. I think there needs to be a point and a balance in our lives that we have. It's okay to watch television, but there needs to be balance. And the irony of watching television is, you know, we think, I'm tired, I'm going to let somebody else do my thinking. How many of you have ever watched 4 hours of television and the next morning you I feel so energized today. I want to take on my world today. It doesn't restore us. It doesn't restore us. We need times of silence so we can recharge, we can think, we can pray, we can listen to God, remind ourselves He is in control. He is my shepherd. He is enough for my life. And He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me realize sometimes that I am enough for your life. You're all I need. I'm all you need. So let's try an experiment this week. I challenge you to cut television watching by 50%. And instead, take that time to spend with your families, play games, read a book, walk, pray, do whatever you got to do. But refocus your life back on God and back on people. So what is God trying to teach us today as we close? I want to be your shepherd. I will restore you when you allow me to lead you. Stop trying to control and manipulate your life. Stop worrying about things you have no control over. Let me carry those burdens for you. I care about your life. You will discover true contentment and peace when you allow me to lead you. When you allow me to be your shepherd, you will discover that I am sufficient to meet all of your needs. And here's his promise. When we allow God to be our shepherd for 2015, we say, God, I'm gonna let you have the car keys. You drive. You're in control. I'm going to trust you. Goodness and mercy. Things I do not deserve from God. They're going to follow me all the days of my life. That's the promise of God. When we say, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. Restore my soul. Reorient my priorities. And help me to allow you to control every aspect of my life. Today, if you want to begin your walk with God, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross, and I'm ready to change my ways, to stop going my way, which is what sin is, and turn towards God and go God's way. Baptism is where you begin that walk with God and where you begin your relation, where you are born again of the water and the Spirit. We can baptize you today. What a great way to end our year out today with someone deciding to follow Christ. Or maybe you just need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to think about, maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing?